Welcome to Read, Eat, Travel, Repeat, the book club and podcast with your hosts, Sarah, Kit, and Marianne, three friends who talk about all things books, food, and travel. Welcome, readers, eaters, and travelers to Read, Eat, Travel, Repeat, the podcast and book club where books take us beyond the page. I'm Sarah.
I'm Kit.
And I'm Marianne. Today we'll be talking about the books we've read recently and books we think you need to add to your TBR pile.
This episode is spoiler-free, so if a book you haven't read yet is mentioned, don't worry, we're not going to spoil it for you. And as always, we're adult readers who say adult things, and it's not going to be me this time.
I'm not going to pass you.
Not right out the gate, at least.
You'll find something, right? My gosh.
I think let's get right to it.
Okay. My month was kind of slow. A lot of good audiobooks, though. I listened to Atmosphere by Taylor Jenkins Reid. I had read it, I think, last month, and now I listened to the audio. It was narrated by Julia Whalen, who is my absolute favorite narrator. And it was so good the second time around, just as good as reading it the first time. Just even though I knew the ending, I was still on pins and needles at the ending. I also listened to Daisy Jones and the Six, which Julia Whalen's is one of the narrators, but it's like got a full cast. And I wasn't sure how I was going to like that because there's so many different characters and so many different points of view that I was like, am I going to be able to keep track of it? But it was so well done and it just so brought the book to life. I mean, I still find it hard to believe these aren't real people because they just seemed so real from listening to them. It was perfectly cast. Julia Whalen was one of the narrators, but not the only one. So that's the only thing when you really like the same narrator. It's like sometimes it's hard to transition to a new book because you just heard them in another book and now all of a sudden they're
That's so true. You're like, but they were in this character. Which one am I listening to?
She also did Great Big Beautiful Life by Emily Henry, which I listened to this summer, and a book I'm listening to now. So it's like, it's such very different stories and trying to keep track. Wait a minute. That's not Hayden and Alice from Great Big Beautiful Life, right? She was the narrator for Atmosphere and one of the narrators for Daisy Jones and the Six. I also listened to We All Live Here by Jojo Moyes, and I had read the book and it was okay. I liked it, but listening to it just made me like it more. I mean, Jojo Moyes does like, her books have like more depth. There's some romance in there. They're women's fiction, and I hate the name of that genre.
I know. Just because a woman wrote it? Isn't that what they, or no, they consider that because it's the main characters of women, because.
No, well, it's supposed to be that like the journey of a woman, but not focus only on romance.
Yeah.
Is what I've read about it.
That's going to be my full clip of the video is all three of us just went at the same exact time.
I prefer to call that literary fiction, even though.
Right.
But really, Jojo Moyes is women's fiction because she captures the essence of women, especially this particular book, like The Sandwich Generation, where she's taking care of elderly parents. She's taking care of her children. She's got an ex-husband. She's got a romantic interest. She's got a job. And all of us women, we have all of those balls we're always having to juggle. And, you know, it's so hard to keep them all up in the air. And listening to the book, I almost didn't finish it because then something else came in instead and I listened to that first. And then I listened to this one. And I really appreciated the way she captures that, you know, it's not these 20 something year olds, you know, falling in love in like a romance. It's like these real people with real problems. Yep. And I really like the way she captures that. I read for my book club a book called Something in the Water by Catherine Stedman, which was apparently a pretty big book in 2018. And it's about this newlywed couple who goes, they're from England, and they go to Tahiti or Bali or someplace out in the South Pacific for their honeymoon. And they find this bag full of diamonds and cash.
Oh.
And instead of turning it in, they keep it. And it's just very interesting about how greed ends up destroying them. And it was I didn't like it at first. And then I went to my book club and we talked about it. And I liked it more after we discussed it because I didn't like the ending. And then somebody gave me another point of view and I went, oh, okay. Now, makes sense. Okay.
Yeah.
Now I'm good with it. Then the one book I really, really loved was an ARC. It's by this author named Matthew Norman. He's from Baltimore. And his books are first and foremost like a love story to Baltimore. You know, Baltimore has such a bad rap. Mm-hmm. And he writes about like all the like neighborhoods and little like traditions and things like that. And this really tied in perfectly with my Moz movie marathon from the summer. Because this was called Grace and Henry's Holiday Movie Marathon. And every section of the book focused on a different movie. And it's about these two people in Baltimore who've both lost their spouses, a widow and a widower, and finding each other. They become friends and they watch movies together. And then that friendship turns into more. And it's just cute and sweet and happy. No spice, you know, it just is a happy book. Mm-hmm. And it was my favorite. His other book that I read was Charm City Rocks, which Charm
I've
City.
Read that.
Have you?
Yeah, I didn't recall the author though, but I do remember that title.
About the rock star who comes to town. Yeah. I loved that book.
It was just the same thing.
It was just a sweet, happy book. And I was so excited when I got the arc of this current one. Mm-hmm. And I even watched a few more movies because of it that I hadn't seen before. So that's pretty much my wrap up for right now. I guess, you know, being in my fourth week of being back to work, or fifth week, actually.
Five weeks already? Dang.
Yeah. Wow. 4 weeks of school, 5 weeks at work.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. So, oh, wait a minute. I just remembered there's one more that I'm listening to now. I'm not finished with it. And it's also Julia Whalen, go figure.
Okay.
But Educated by Tara Westover, about the woman who grew up in a very strict Mormon household and didn't get a birth certificate. I mean, it's a true story. It's a memoir.
Yep.
It's brutal. But she like comes out of it. And I mean, spoiler alert, she gets a doctorate, goes from never attending traditional school and ends up getting a doctorate, but that's all on the internet. You can find it. And it's really interesting. It's really scary that there's people with this mindset out there, and it's fascinating. So that's my current listen. So, okay.
I guess that's enough.
I have read that.
And next month when you talk, I have opinions about that book.
Okay. I'm interested. I'm reading it because one of the women in my book club had opinions about it too. So
I'm curious if we have the same opinion then. It'll be interesting.
Me too. So I'm not quite finished with it. I got about third of it left, quarter of it left.
Yeah.
Okay. So now, Kit, now it's your turn.
On to a topic that I know you both have big opinions on.
Okay.
And I'm ready. I listened to the audiobook of Tusk Love because I loved it so much when I read it that I immediately, it's on Spotify Premium. Shout out Spotify for hooking me up with that.
Ooh, okay.
So
is it less than 15 hours? Because I think you have, like, did you listen to it all in 1 month?
Yes. Yep.
You have to do, you get like 15 hours for free, 15 hours a month or something.
No idea. Totally, but I listened to it in like a couple weeks. So it wasn't super, super long. But narrated Oscar, my love.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Narrated by Teddy Hamilton.
Okay. I could see that though, because it's not a romance book.
It isn't. Like it, yeah. It primarily, he's just grumpy and like is angry at himself for finding Guinevere so hot. Like he's like, God damn it. I had a plan for my life. And now this cute little magical fire girl shows up and I don't want to fall in love with her, but I do. So he's like very surly and sarcastic.
Okay.
And I'm not going to talk about the book too much because I talked about it last month, but I know how much you guys hate Teddy Hamilton.
Really? I don't know that I hate him. I just dislike him reading the romance genre.
Yes. Yeah.
I find his voice to be panty dropping, which is what everybody says. They're like, he could read me the phone book and it's so hot. And I'm like, it's really not.
You know, to each their own. Everybody's got different things that'll make them drop their pants. So, like, who knows? Maybe it does it for some people. I do not listen to a ton of audiobooks. So this is my first audiobook with him as a narrator. Okay. I thought it was perfectly cast because the whole time you can just feel his, like, being annoyed at every situation he has found himself in.
The way he narrates.
Perfect inflection for that.
Yes. I can see this because I feel like it's something about the way he narrates is kind of cocky and I don't like it in romance books, but I feel like other ones I would.
Is exact because the character is a really, I could talk about Oscar for hours, but like it's this really nice balance of vulnerability and like, I will kick your ass if I have to. And it's got the right kind of inflection and delivery for like, yeah, I believe that he could totally kick your ass as a giant half orc, but also that you would cry because you miss your mom. Like it's a perfect little balance. So that was my audiobook for the month was Tusk.
Okay.
And I knew you guys would have thoughts about that.
Yes.
And then I reread Jurassic Park.
Oh, I also saw that
watched
video you posted.
All the movies. Oh. I watched all, right six? From, all of them. We watched like one each night. We started back at number one. We ended with the newest one, which is probably, if you haven't seen it yet, Rebirth, is my favorite one since the first one. Johnny Bailey.
Oh my God. I love
with
him.
With his slutty little glasses. Love him. Yes. He was excellent in it. And Scarlett Johansson too, she's hit or miss for me. She was perfectly cast in this. But what I loved about the book, I hadn't read it in probably like 20 years. Like I feel like I read it in high school. I forgot how many pieces of the book were pulled out and put into other movies.
Yes.
So like the start of the second movie with the little girl on the island getting attacked by the tiny lizard dinosaurs is actually like the second chapter of the book.
Okay.
And then there's a scene in the newest movie. I'm not going to spoil it, but it involves a raft. And that's directly pulled from the book. And they wanted to put it in the first movie, but CGI wasn't kind of up to snuff yet.
Okay.
Yep. So they held it off. And it was interesting to see how all these different beats from the movies are put together in a book in a way that makes sense. Like it's all in one book and it makes complete sense, but it also works the way they divided it up into the movies. And then my next book was loaned to me by my neighbor across the street. Her name is Francie. She's phenomenal. Francie visited me as I was setting up my little free library and she saw our sticker on the front. So I showed her how to get the podcast and she was like, you have to read this book. I'm going to hold it up because I love it. For those of you that will watch this on a video some later day, it's called Deadlier Than the Male. And it's dangerously witty quotations by women about men. And
that's awesome.
It's everybody should read this book. The chapter titles are like The Vile Seducer. Yep. And then where's my favorite quote? Oh, like there's one where like the guy's trying to like the pictures are all Victorian pictures.
Oh, funny.
Of course.
Like, this guy's trying to like, let's hook up. And she's like, no, darling, that only leads to housework. It's all, but there's some quotes that are just like random anonymous quotes. But then there's also quotes from like authors from the 1800s.
Oh, wow.
Like, okay. I have bad vision, but Helen Rowland from 1875, no man can understand why a woman should prefer a good reputation to a good time. That chapter is all about things that men don't understand. So it's a really, really funny book. So I highly recommend that one to literally everybody. And then I had a couple arcs. I read Well, Actually, which is a super cute second chance romance. And I couldn't like, I don't want to say I disliked the title because I liked the title, but it reminds me too much of Love Actually.
Okay.
Like in my own brain.
Okay.
But it's a second chance romance. And have you guys ever watched Chicken Shop Date? It's an online interview series. Start with the Andrew Garfield one, but literally they just sit at a diner and she interviews her guests as if they're on their first date at a chicken shop.
Okay.
And she's hysterical. The questions are hysterical. This is very much that. It's a B-list celebrity interview show. It's called Sausage Talk. They interview over hot dogs, which I loved. And I liked this story because the interviewer has to interview an ex. And she's still pretty like salty about how things went down. And he's like, I'm not that guy anymore. Like,
well, yeah, because he's got, because I listened to the audio. Yeah. And because he's like got this whole thing about, what's the word I'm thinking about? Toxic masculinity.
Toxic, like how not to be toxic.
Yes, yes.
Like how not to be toxic. And she's still pretty salty about how things went down. So the whole book then becomes like the second chance romance where like he convinces her to give him a second chance to prove that like what who you think I am is not who I am anymore. And it's a lot. I liked it because it was a really nice balance of like they have some serious shit to work through, but really cute, funny, heartfelt moments. So I thought I liked that one a lot. And I had it as an arc and I think it would be a really good listen to. I don't know.
It was good. It was very cute. I was out riding my electric tricycle and there's like some spicy parts and
that was the one you did your video with.
Waving to the dogs and cats and babies in the meantime. And
in your ear.
Yes, yes.
Hot dog talk.
Yes.
That's like sometimes when I'm reading at or I'm grading at school or something or doing when I was packing my classroom up, I would listen to my audiobook.
Yeah.
And I always I put headphones in because I'm like, I don't want to find my classroom in my speaker system. They're going to be like, what?
I was listening to Tusk Love while I was out hiking and there's like tons of smut in that one. And I'm like, please don't blush. Like, just walk.
Yep, yep.
Don't look at me too closely.
It's the heat. It's not.
It's humidity. Yeah. And then I got two arcs that are for my Why Middle Grade Kids Need Horror. The first one is The Dark Times of Nimble Nottingham. I really liked this one because it was a really cool blend of historical fiction and fantasy. It was set during the Blitz, World War II Blitz. And so these kids are dealing with like actual real serious war, like coming to their city. But then during the blackout, monsters appear.
They
have to deal with now this fantasy or supernatural threat as well. And it was fun, like Nancy Drew, not really like, but kind of that, like, I'm going to solve this mystery and figure it out. So that one was really good. And the second one was Open Wide. This one is going to be hit or miss for people because people have big feelings about teeth.
Oh, yeah.
I've discovered.
That's true. People have nightmares about having teeth pulled.
Right.
So it's really a horror story.
Any kind of body horror, especially dealing with teeth, is hit or miss for people. But this one is set around a mysterious dentist who's just out there yanking teeth out. And his name is Dr. Yankum. This is my favorite part of middle grade horror books because you have to balance the humor. Like it can't just be scares. The silliest shit happens. Yeah. But I love that his name is Dr. Yankum. And then these kids start to realize like, whoa, it wasn't just me that had like a tooth that got pulled out that I didn't think need to get pulled out. It's everybody. So then they set out to solve the mystery of like, what the hell is going on? Like, what is Dr. Yankum after right now? And then I read a book called Catch Your Death. This is a whodunit, like a dinner party murder mystery. Okay. But which can sometimes be cliche because there's only so many things you can do while locked in a house with a murderer. But what this one did that I liked better than some other books that I've read that have similar premise is there are three different points of view. And at no point do you know which one is telling the truth. And everybody's is a reliable narrator sometimes, and everyone's unreliable at others because they only have the information they have. So as you're reading it, you're trying to puzzle it together just as they are. And I kept having to like flip back and be like, yo, what did she just say? Like, no, that's different than what so-and-so said, but you don't know which one has the right perspective. Okay. But they all think they're telling the truth. So it was a real, like it definitely made me think. Like I really had to like, who do I want to believe in this scenario? And then those were all my books. But the other thing that I've been doing a lot of is because of Tusk Love, I started watching The Mighty Nein on YouTube, which is the Critical Role D&D, like long form game, essentially,
okay,
in which Tusk Love is just created as part of the story. So I've started, it's like 141 episodes long.
Oh, wow.
Each episode is like 4 hours long.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
I am seven episodes in, so I'm in it for the long haul.
Right.
But it is really fun to, it's set in the same world that Tusk Love is set in.
Okay.
So it's fun to like, oh, I know that place. Like, oh my God, that store is the same place they stopped at. Mm-hmm. So that's been kind of fun. So it's still storytelling, but in a totally different format.
I love podcasts that tell stories. I mean, not just
it's great.
Us, but no, we don't tell stories. But I'm a big listener of lore.
Yes.
And Cabinet of Curiosities.
Yeah. This one.
I don't remember his name. Aaron something.
Yeah. He
like tells folklore stories.
Yeah.
And so it's like based in true life, but also it's a story. And so it's like, this is fascinating.
And this is, I had not really looked at anything on D&D previously, except for my like deep and unabiding obsession with Eddie Munson from Stranger Things. But this has been fun because I'm kind of learning along with, I text my friend Will every time I'm listening to be like, hey, when Matt, who's like the DM does something, I'm like, hey, how does that work? So it's like you're getting a story, but you're also kind of learning how these worlds are created and how the stories are made.
Okay.
Because it's partially improv. Like the people are reacting as their characters and then the DM has to react to what they do. And to me, it's like mind boggling how they keep it all together, but it's really fun. All right, Sarah, it's you. What'd you read?
Okay. I completed my summer reading challenge, which was to finally finish the Throne of Glass series.
So I'm clapping into the microphone for you.
I know. So I listened to Tower of Dawn and I listened to Kingdom of Ash. I just finished Kingdom of Ash. I feel like the TikTokers are going to hate me, but it's not my favorite. Like I didn't love it. Mm-hmm. There are people who are like, this is my end all. Like I love Throne of Glass so much. They're so invested in it. It's good. I thought ACOTAR was better. I thought Crescent City was better.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Tower of Dawn, definitely one of my favorites. I did not do the tandem read that I was telling you about with, whatever I read last month. I'm blanking right now, but, you're supposed to tandem read Tower of Dawn and the other one, and you read like so many chapters because they're happening simultaneously.
Yeah.
But they weren't written simultaneously. So I was like, you know what? She wrote this one first and then she wrote this one.
Yeah.
And I'm not reading the physical books. And so I can't take an audio and like, let me pause.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, let me go to this book and then this book. And I love Tower of Dawn because Kaol is one of my favorite characters. And I've been devastated since book two. If you've read Throne of Glass, you know what I mean, because I love him so much. And this book focused mostly on him. And then Kingdom of Ash, it all comes back together. Mm. Everyone said, oh my God, I cried so hard. Kingdom of Ash is going to destroy you. I was waiting for the part to be destroyed and it like never came.
Do you think it's because you were like expecting it? Like there was too much anticipation like built up in your head?
Maybe, but I was expecting like many characters to die. You know, that
Like devastation.
I was much more devastated reading Fourth Wing.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole Empyrean series, like definitely. So it was good. I'm glad it's over. I'm ready to move on. I was talking to my coworker about that. She's like, we liked it, but it's just not our, I don't know. I feel like I kind of spent a lot of time reading the books. Kingdom of Ash is 28 hours in audio.
Oh my gosh.
So, this is book seven or eight.
That would be on double time for me.
It was 1.5 for me.
Yeah.
And because she reads really slow. So 1.5 was like normal to me. Yeah.
Yeah, me too. I can't do anything less than that.
Yeah. And then I listened to At For Spite by Olivia Dade. Another one is becoming our favorites.
Yes.
Loved this one. So funny. Athena and Dr. Matthew Vine. I love how she calls him Dr. The third.
Every time.
Dr. Matthew Vine, the third, when she's angry with him. And I love the idea of a spite house. Where she house was, because there's a couple that exist in the U.S.
Yeah, in New York, it is one. Yeah.
Yeah. The house that was built because husband and wife were fighting or they got divorced and they literally build this 3 foot wide house through the hole.
Yeah.
You know, oh God.
Something like that. And so I love the idea of that. Another really good fun read. again with her real girl characters, I like to call them real girls.
Yeah.
So real girls, real problems. I thought this one was a little deeper maybe than some of the other ones. Like Athena had some pretty, she had a lot going on in her head more than I was expecting to go that deep.
I think Olivia Dade writes those characters really well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Ren from All the Feels is like similar in my mind that like there's a lot going on behind the scenes that Olivia Dade does a good job of like revealing it in a way that feels relatable. It's not just like she's depressed. It's like, here's the trauma that happened and here's how it outwardly is manifesting.
Like, she had so much more trauma than I thought because the beginning plays it off as such a like haha funny thing, and then you're like, no, that's like really,
that's like real. Yeah,
it's real and it's eating at her and just like, holy cow. So I'll always recommend her, she's fantastic. And then I picked up Memory of Lavender and Sage because we were talking at the last episode or two episodes ago when I came back from Europe, and Southern France was one of my favorites, and I want to try to read books from these other countries, and literally was like, I need something that takes place in a lavender field. And I searched and I found Memory of Lavender.
I was Googling it as you were talking about
it. And I was like, done. And it was on Kindle Unlimited, I think. Yeah. So I read it for free by Amy K. Runyon, who also wrote another book that I was trying to get an arc of. I think we talked about that.
Yeah. The one that had food.
Yes. Because food and travel, I think that's a theme with hers. It's all like food and travel because, Tempesta. I think she goes by Tempe. And I was trying to remember because Tempesta is her real name, but she goes by like a nickname. If it's Ellie or something, like, I don't think Tempe doesn't feel right. But anyway, she's a food critic.
Oh,
okay.
In New York City. So same thing. She's a writer. Kind of the black sheep of the family. Her her grandmother's always been really unkind to her, and her dad has kind of kept her at arm's length. Her brother is like the guy who's going to inherit everything, and when her dad dies, he just leaves her basically her mother's things, not any of the family fortune. And so she's like, screw it. And she knows her mother is from Southern France in this little, it's Saint Columbia, but it's a made-up town. It's near Avignon, Nimes, which I went to Nimes, and it was one of my, both cities, they're one of my favorites. So I like that area that I literally was in
just
Provence
there.
And I was like, so she said she made it up, but it's meant to model those kind of things. And she goes there trying to find more about her mother. So the whole, like, my mom came from France and I don't know her whole story, ends up buying this cute little house, tons of like, the townspeople don't like her at first and then they like her. It was so magical. Like, such a good book. I loved it.
Oh, good.
And I also am glad I didn't know this before I went to Southern France, but she plants lavender all around her house to keep the scorpions away.
Oh.
And I'm like, there were scorpions in Southern France?
Scorpions.
I didn't know about that. I would have checked my shoes and things like that. So I was a little like, okay. I didn't know that was a thing. But these books are very character driven. A little bit of romance, but again, more of that literary fiction where it's not about the girl falling in love. It's about her finding who she is. And that's what she's like kind of lost. She has to learn how to stand up for herself.
Yeah.
Learns about her family history and there's more connections than she realized kind of thing. Makes amends with her brother. So it was beautiful. And I'm definitely going to read anything else by her because I really loved it. So I feel like I was starting to take a turn. I read a lot of romance and I'm like, I just need something a little more cerebral, if that makes sense. Like,
definitely.
You got to balance it out with that next book.
I know. Then I have been so interested in this book for a long time. My husband laughed when I bought it. I was like, I have to buy this.
Talk about it, I had never heard about it. All I know is what you wrote on here. And I read it while Marianne was talking, and I had to do everything in my power not to laugh because Marianne was talking about serious things, and I was reading your description as she talked and just went,
And this is, like, I feel like a lot of our unhinged books, they're books that, I mean, they're not published by big houses. They're not the kind you go to Barnes & Noble and you find.
No, I did not find them at Barnes & Noble's.
I bought this at Target. I bought this in the Target bookstore. It's a big, like, it's called Behooved. And it is, okay, about this girl. Her name's Bianca. She's being forced into this to, so I'm like, okay, fantasy, I like it. Forced to marry Prince Eric. I'm assuming it's Eric. It's A-R-I-C. In my brain, I kept saying Eric. Maybe it's Arik, but she's forced to marry him. And he's super broody, but he's also kind of hot, of course.
Of course.
And there's magic in this world and everything. And so there's a plot to kill one of them on their wedding night. So they've gotten married and they're about to, she's excited to consummate their marriage because
yeah, I bet she is. I'm
and then something happens and she has a spell like in a locket around her neck and she uses it and poof, Arik has turned into a horse.
She turns him into a horse?
He doesn't know what happens. She doesn't know, but she uses this spell that her sister, who is like, best is with magic, they call it something, and turns him into a horse. And he doesn't know what happened, but she can also hear what he's saying in her mind.
Oh my God,
he's being stupid and everything. And the beginning, I wish I should have done a better job of doing quotes, because some of them were so funny where she was like, something about, I guess this is one way to ride your husband kind of thing.
Oh my God.
Like at the beginning, there were all these rings. This is my favorite. I tightened my legs around Arik's sides instinctively as if he were an ordinary horse and not the man I married.
So
there's lots of these really weird little quotes and there. I'm like, oh my God, I can't.
That's so funny. I'm on the author's Instagram right now because I was like, there's got to be somewhere where these quotes are. And I feel like this just points to how funny the author is just all on their own.
Yes.
Because one of their pictures, I don't know if you guys watched The Summer I Turned Pretty.
Yes.
They've got
I've not watched yesterday's episode yet. But
neither have I. The summer I turned my husband into a horse.
I was looking at her. I was trying to find more quotes because I did a terrible job of. And here's one. No, I would not tell the ambassador or anyone who didn't absolutely need to know that I'd accidentally turned my husband into a horse.
I felt as if I were riding an unbroken stallion and coming out worse for it.
Yes. Like that's like, it's like weird horse things. And so
perfect.
I was trying to find.
Oh my God. This is they've got a picture of an annotated copy. Says, I'd already voided my stomach into the sea enough times that my abdominal muscles ached. And next to it, it says, this is from personal experience.
So on a good note about all the stuff with her that she did with this book. And I think this is probably why it's a little higher up than maybe the others.
Yeah.
There is chronic illness represented.
Oh, okay.
Like, I think the main character, it's kind of determined that she probably has celiacs.
Okay.
But she doesn't know it. So she's constantly, like, writhing in pain in her stomach and blah, blah, blah. There's also LGBTQ in here. Like, she's bi. She had a girlfriend first, and now she's got a husband. And then there's another.
A horse.
It's a whole, like, yeah. So what does she call it? Queer normative world.
Okay.
So that's cool. It was, I didn't hate it. I'm having a lot of fun looking at, well, there's another quote I saw.
Listen,
all of these are all like, save a horse, ride a prince.
Annotated copy. I want desperately
from her.
Yes.
Oh my God.
Beneath his hooves, the floorboards creaked threateningly. Annotation. I'm so glad I did a rewrite with my agent, if only to include this scene.
He ends up turning. Okay, because then he turns back into a man at night. And of course, there's the one bed trope.
Okay. Yeah.
And so they both sleep in and daylight starts peeking in. And boom, he turns into a horse while in bed and breaks the bed.
Gosh. Yeah, on that page, someone asked something and she goes, we're fine. I just bedded the horse.
Yes, I just bedded. So it's weird. It's like funny, tongue-in-cheek.
Oh my God, I have to read this one.
I know. There's another. I saw another one. Another favorite quote. The horse turned its head to glare at me over its shoulder. His shoulder. The expression dissipated my doubt, though not my shock. That cold annoyance was definitely Arix. Bizarre though it was to see on an equine face.
I just have to ask one question, is like, did they consummate the marriage while he was human or horse?
While he was a human, which was also okay. Weird because I was like, dude, you're consummating your marriage and he's still a horse by day. That's a little weird. Little Catherine the Great? Is that?
I have so many questions that are not appropriate to say out loud.
Some of these reviews on Goodreads are so funny. One of them is a 1-star and all she wrote was nay. Lala books and Lala. Oh, thank you for that review. And the other person
will have to be a clip.
The other person's like, save a horse, ride your husband, who happens to turn into one.
Oh, that's funny.
These are so good.
So I was like kind of dying.
Now I'm also on the reviews. Brain off. Marriage arranged. Husband, horse.
Yeah.
She's into swords. He's really into books. This is the bisexual agenda.
Yes.
Fast.
I know. So this person says something. What are they? She says, Sophie says, I'm spellbound by this, and this is not surprising. The cover, gorgeous. The premise of an arranged marriage and a prince cursed to be a horse by day and human by night. Compelling. Horse puns? Galore. My mood? Unstable. This was kind of
I think so just
I picked it because I'm a horse girl, and I was like, this is it. This is
how
my
unhinged
book. I have to read this. Like,
I'm going to have to read this too. Finally, a book that answers the question, would you still love me if I was a horse?
And some of it was really, I mean, her writing's just kind of funny and snarky in general. Yeah. So I'm curious. I don't even know if she has anything else. I should have looked because I'd be curious if I read something else by her. Is this like her norm or, what?
She's contributing
a lot of anthology,
but
anthologies, more like and more nonfiction things.
Yeah.
She's based in the Finger Lakes region of New York.
Oh, well, hey, ex-neighbor,
I
guess. I, too, used to be based in the Finger Lakes region of New York.
Yeah. So, yeah, not a lot of books this month, mostly because Tower of Dawn and Kingdom of Ash took up my whole life. And then everything was just such a stressful month that my reading was like 5 minutes at night.
Yeah, I just, back to school.
Like,
is rough.
I have to go to bed. I'm so tired. So, looking forward.
I think that's why most of mine were audiobooks because I could read them. I could listen to them while I was
doing other things,
driving or riding my bike or whatever.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
And my on paper looks like I read a lot of books, but those middle grade books are like
they're fast.
They're very fast reads.
Yeah. All right. How about our questions?
Okay.
Let's do it.
What character would you want to go on a road trip with, Kit?
It feels like a little bit of cheating because all the quotes from Deadlier Than the Male were from real people, but there was multiple quotes from Mae West in there, and I love Mae West any day of the week. And some of the quotes, let me see if I can pull one. I know she's got one like towards the back of the book that I was dying over, but I only like two kinds of men, domestic and imported. Feel like she'd be great to talk to on a road trip. Like, I feel like we'd have a good time.
I agree. She's amazing.
Yeah.
She's amazing.
I feel like she'd be fun. So that's who I would pick to go on a road trip. What about you, Emma?
I would pick Harold from an arc I'm currently reading. It's called Dog Person. It's by Camille Pagan. And the story is told from Harold's point of view. And he's a dog. And I usually do not like stories.
I was going to say.
I know.
And I almost
it's a departure from Marianne.
And his person died. And she was in a committed relationship with Miguel. Her name was Amelia. And before she died, Amelia told Harold to find Miguel a new partner.
Oh.
And it's like Harold's like, it's been 6 seasons since I last saw my person. And it's like breaking my heart. But now they're on an adventure, and so I would want to go with Harold because Harold's getting close to the end of days, and he wants adventure. So I would want to give Harold some adventure.
Yeah.
Aww.
Oh no, it's killing me.
Oh, I bet. I say sometimes I can't read the dog. I can read horse stuff fine. The dog ones kill me. Like,
oh, I know. And so I've cried more times, and but now I want to go read more of it. So
Sarah,
I picked I think Tempe from Memory of Lavender and Sage, mostly because she has such a clear sense of adventure. Like, again, that whole picking up and going, I'm unhappy with my life and I want to move. Like, she sells everything she owns, packs up what's left, and moves to France, where she speaks basic school French. They do not speak basic school French that far south. So she kind of has a little bit of a language barrier and everything, but... of course, it was a little bit of Under the Tuscan Sun in there, too, where she also buys an old rundown house and fixes it up. Of course, has to meet the handyman, too, who's pretty hot. But but still, the fact, I just, that whole notion of like moving to Europe and, I don't know, buying an old house and fixing it, and the fact that she just drops everything, I think would be amazing. So.
Yeah.
All right. Where would you like to go in these books? Kit.
Who's up first? Kit?
Yeah.
Jurassic Park.
Okay, of course.
Full stop. This is my, like, all-time... You know how people are always like, how do you know you're going to be friends? Like, if you would go to Jurassic Park, like, if you... This is my question I always ask people. If you could go, if you could visit, money is not, like, a factor. You can get the time off of work. Knowing everything that you know, would you go visit Jurassic Park? Because the answer is yes. Yes,
how
of course you'd go and visit Jurassic Park.
I don't think Marianne and I would go. Yeah.
I would go in a heartbeat.
Jurassic Park in the beginning before the dinosaurs got out?
No,
heck
like
yeah,
tomorrow.
I would go.
Tomorrow. Yeah. If someone was like, Jurassic Park has been rebuilt. We promise it's safer now. Do you want to go?
I would go.
If you, I'll trust you. Sure. Is Dr. Ian Malcolm going to be there? Because that's a hard yes.
Yes.
Like, if I get to hang out with him the whole time, 100%. He'll keep me safe. He understands the chaos theory.
Is that Johnny Bailey or not?
No, that's...
No.
Ian Gold...
Jeff Goldblum.
Oh, yeah, that's just as good, yeah.
And he's so funny. Yeah, he.
But if Johnny Bailey's there, I wouldn't even question it for a second. If Johnny Bailey was like, would you like to go pet dinosaurs? I would say yes.
Yeah.
Chris Pratt would make me pause because I'm not a huge Chris Pratt fan.
Oh,
but
I do like
his character.
I might ride
on
the back of his motorcycle.
There you go. I like the characters in the movies, but I would go to Jurassic Park tomorrow if someone was like, "Let's go see dinosaurs." I'd be like, "Yes, let's go see dinosaurs."
You know, Dr. Ian Malcolm could be a good person to go on a road trip with.
I had him. You're right. I had him first. He was my first answer for that. And then, but then I wanted to use Jurassic Park for where I wanted to go visit. So I changed my road trip answer. But it was initially Ian Malcolm.
Yeah.
Shirtless, preferably.
Shirtless.
When you lived in Tampa, was Dinosaur World there on I-4?
I don't think so. But it could have been.
There's a place, I think it's Plant City, that they have all these like life-size dinosaur statues.
Yeah.
I've never been, but we see it all the time driving along I-4. So it's just made me think of that. So and if you end up having a child that goes to school down here, you'll have to go to
Dinosaur
World. 100%.
And you're in Jurassic Park.
Yeah.
I will play the theme song on my phone out loud the entire time.
Yep.
And then you can pretend like they're chasing you. You could see
photos.
I will
come in costume.
Dude,
yes.
I would have so many fun TikTok clips from that. Like,
there's a place out here. I'm going to blank on the name of the waterfalls. My friend Ferber, when she was out here last summer, we had a road trip planned and we had to redo the entire road trip because of the wildfires. So we ended up going places that we had not planned on going because we couldn't get to where we wanted to. So we found these waterfalls and in the middle of nowhere, looks like you're in the middle of Jurassic Park. Like it's all kind of deserty canyony. And then all of a sudden there's these amazing waterfalls. So we went hiking there. We did Jurassic Park pictures and I photoshopped in dinosaurs later.
Oh, that's fun.
at the same time, while there's like a bridge, like as you're walking up to the falls, there's this beautiful bridge that looks into the falls and it's lush and it's green and it's gorgeous. There are people taking very professional, very fancy wedding photos.
Right.
And then there's me and my friend crawling around on the ground doing like dinosaur hands. We're like rawr, like we're making dinosaur noises. And because it's just the two of us, we take all the pictures. I set the timer on my watch. So we set the camera up and then we scurry away and hit the timer. And it goes like 3, 2, 1. And then you're like, and then you run back over to the camera to see how it came out. We made sure we were not in the background of their pictures, but we were definitely where they could see us. So they're very, very fancy, gorgeous. I'm sure their pictures came out absolutely stunning. And then I went home and I photoshopped in all sorts of dinosaurs.
I think it would have been awesome if you would have shown up in the back of one of theirs just so they could remember that moment.
But like, I hope we did.
You'd have like hold each other's faces and you're in the back going,
that's exactly how their pictures were. Like they were like so romantic.
Yeah.
And so beautiful.
Beautiful. And,
yeah. And I'm acting like a full blown idiot in the background. And we hadn't like, we'd been sleeping in like tents and cabins. We probably hadn't showered in like a whole week.
Right. Oh my
God. We looked a hot mess, but it was super fun. So if you gave me actual dinosaurs to take pictures with.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I mean, I do love that book. I was a huge Michael Crichton fan in high school. Like, yeah. I read all of Michael Crichton. And it started with Jurassic Park, and then I just couldn't stop. Like,
yeah.
Andromeda Strain, Congo, Rising Sun. I look back, I'm like, those are weird books to read as a high schooler, but I devoured them.
Marianne, where would you like to go, if not Jurassic Park?
Well, yeah, not Jurassic Park, but I would go to Baltimore because my only experience really going to Baltimore was like 10 years ago. And when Kelsey and I were there for a dance competition, and we watched somebody being arrested in our hotel lobby as we were checking in.
Oh, excellent.
Rumor was on the street that she was a sex worker who was offering her services at the hotel. And it was like a double tree or something like that.
Double tree. They're not going to classy hotels.
I was gonna say, not everyone can afford the classy joints.
So, but yeah, so that's my only really experience with Baltimore. So I would like to go back and see it like through Matthew Norman's eyes, or even wasn't First Time Caller, if you guys have read that, that also takes place in Baltimore, I think. Okay. So I would like to see Baltimore like through a native's eyes, because it sounds mm-hmm. like it's a very cool town if you know mm-hmm. the right places to go. So that would be my choice of all places. Okay, Sarah, where would you be going?
I feel boring this month because, okay, I read like two books that take place in magical kingdoms and two that take place in the real world. And so I went with Southern France. I just mm-hmm. loved it. I don't want to live in the magical world that Sarah J. Maas
has creates
in Throne of Glass. I mean, if we're talking about Valeris from ACOTAR, yes, but they just got through a big war in Kingdom of Ash, and I'm like, I don't know that I want to go there. So yeah. Southern France again, just because, like I said, she talks about some of the cities I've been to, and I just really picture it, and I'm like, oh, I want to mm-hmm. go back. It was much quieter too, like when we got away from the Mediterranean, when we're not in Nice and you're not those like big cities, Cannes, like Avignon, Nimes was really quiet. It is not a tourist town, and it was fantastic. So that's what I had. All right. Having dinner with, who would we have dinner with?
Marianne, you want to go first on this?
I'll go first. Okay. I picked Camilla Dunn from Daisy Jones and the Six. She's the one who married Billy Dunn, who was the rock star.
Yes.
And she just was like the strongest woman. I mean, just, mm-hmm. and especially.
And put up with a lot. She put up with a lot.
And she just, like when he meets her, she's like a waitress in a cocktail bar. But she just was ballsy and she knew what she wanted and she went for it. And I think she'd be really interesting to talk to about how she got so much strength in her situation. So I think I'd pick Camilla Dunn. Mm-hmm. What about you, Kit?
I went back and forth like a bunch of times on this one between hanging out on the talk show Sausage Talk, because I love a hot dog. Like, who am I to argue with the format of eating hot dogs with cute actors? Or going to the location was called the Bramble Estate for the murder mystery. At the end, I decided to go murder mystery because I would treat it like I was in the movie Clue.
Okay.
And I love that movie. I would be quoting that shit. I'd be like, "Flames dude, that movie on my face." I would make it everybody's problem. Like, if you were like, "Would you like to participate in a dinner murder mystery?" You know how you can like go do those, and they have like paid actors. Yeah. I would never be invited back again, but I would have so much fun. So that's what I would choose. I would choose murder mystery over hot dogs when push came to shove. How about you, Sarah?
Okay, I changed my mind because we started talking about it. So I said Carl the Baker from At for Spite, because he's in this book so little and he has funny one-liners. He hates everybody while he bakes. And then he listens to Monster Smut and he has very few lines and you're just kind of like, I'm intrigued by him.
The next book you find out why he listens to that.
Okay.
There's a reason why he listens to it. It's not necessarily the storyline.
I feel like the way I pictured him in the story was probably like a grumpy old man. And then there's a description and he's much younger.
He's not old.
He listens to tentacle porn and.
Yeah, everyone should listen to tentacle porn. At least once in their life.
Olivia Dade must read some of this too, because she knows an awful lot about different types of monster porn. Research. I was like, wow, that's a thing.
For research purposes.
Okay. That's true.
So that you can speak from a place of knowledge.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Plus it's hysterical. It's so funny.
Did we get everybody?
Yeah. I think we did.
All right. Top book of the month. What do you got, Marianne?
I'm stumped.
You read some good ones.
You did read some good ones.
I did, but there are some of them were ones that I'd already read, and then I listened to the audio, and I'm just trying to decide which one of them. I'll pick Daisy Jones and the Six, okay? So I like the story. I feel like the people were real. I'll pick Daisy Jones and the Six, yeah.
Okay.
Nice.
That's probably one of my top. Atmosphere and Daisy Jones and the Six are like my two top books of the year, and they're both by Taylor Jenkins Reid, so I'll go with that. How about you, Sarah?
Mine was definitely The Memory of Lavender and Sage. I just thought it was beautifully written. It was a nice tie-in, but not too neat kind of thing. There definitely was enough interest in there. The character was strong. I liked the strong female character. But the whole point of her learning not only who her family is, but who she is at its core. And I really liked that. And it just happened to take place in a beautiful area. And I loved all that. It was one of those, you just felt good reading it. Like made me feel good when I was reading it. So
that's always nice.
That's my top pick.
And what about you, Kit?
I went with Jurassic Park. It's one of those that like, I forgot how much I loved the books because I watch the movies all the time. Like I go back to the first movie constantly. And there's something about, you know, the music from that movie that gets you every time.
John Williams.
Yeah. Even when I was at Garden of the Gods yesterday and I made the video with the book because I happen to have the book with me, even just playing the music when I was making a TikTok, I was like, it makes you feel something inside. But I hadn't read the book in so long that I just forgot how much was packed in there and the changes that they made for the movies. And I generally read really fast. This book took me forever to get through. I forgot how dense it is. Mm. Like the sheer volume of actual science that is happening in that book.
Well, and they're
insane
stuck,
that I
they're
forgot.
They're stuck on the island for like a month.
Yeah.
And in the movie, it's like 24 hours.
Right.
And while they're there for a month, they encounter so many more dinosaurs. Yeah. It's fascinating.
And I had forgotten about the whole like subplot, because it happens in the second movie, of the dinosaurs getting off the island and like killing babies and like they don't know what it is. I was like, oh, and like all these little bits and pieces that I had forgotten were in there. It was kind of fun to rediscover the story. It was familiar, but there was a lot there that I did not retain from when I read the book the first time. That's our stack of book picks for the month. What do we have coming up next? Sarah, what you got?
Well, let's see. With school starting, the first few weeks are always busy, but now things are starting to taper out finally. Although I do start musical auditions next week. Speaking of reading, we are doing Hadestown this year. So if you're into Greek mythology, the story of Orpheus and Eurydice,
That's my favorite story. I haven't seen that show yet.
Oh, it's so good.
I listen to the music all the time.
Yes.
I love it. It's so good.
And I'm so excited to do it. But I've been looking also for more books. Like there's more books about Orpheus and Eurydice. Like there's a lot of books on Greek mythology I've been more interested in because of it. My current reads, my book club picked West with Giraffes by Linda Rutledge. And I am loving it so far. It is the fictional account based on a true story.
Okay.
In the 30s of these giraffes that survived a hurricane. They came into the port and their cages were, or their crates were all smashed. And they were bought by the San Diego Zoo. That's why they were coming. And they have to take a truck and drive them across the country.
Oh, wow.
To the San Diego Zoo.
The visual of that is blowing my mind. I'm visualizing like a pickup truck, which is probably not. Seriously, it's the 1930s.
I like did a Google deep dive already because I'm like, this really happened. Like the way it happened in the book, there's a, the character who's the driver. He's like a young kid from. He's not from Oklahoma, but they call him an Okie because they call everybody.
Oh my God. It is just like a pallet truck.
Yes. A pallet. And they've got these and everyone stops on the way because they're so exotic and everything. Really good so far.
Holy cow.
I also had hanging out the top. Yes, I know. I picked up Dating After the End of the World. Geneva Rose's new. Yes. That's the zombie apocalypse love story, I think. And it is first reads if you're on Kindle Unlimited, if you get. Or Kindle in general. I don't know how I got those. I used to get those emails all the time, even before I was on Kindle Unlimited.
I think that's Amazon Prime, isn't it?
Maybe it's Amazon Prime. Yeah. And then I had some credits to use. And since I just finished my wonderful Throne of Glass, I picked up the next Amy Award book, The Pussy Next Door.
That's book three.
I'm apparently reading them in order. So
I'm not. I'm like all over the map with
those
books.
I'm like, I didn't mean to, but I started it and I'm like, I might as well just stay in order. So yeah. So that's what I have going on. Ma, what about you?
I'm finishing this book, Dog Person, that I started. I think I'm going to read the Lauren Oliver arc I just got because if you remember way back when, and I think it was 2014, that Lauren Oliver was the first arc I ever got before I fall.
Okay.
Yeah. So I still have that arc. So I think I might read her book next because I'll be camping this weekend and I want something that I can enjoy by the, not by the campfire because it's hot as blazes, but.
So we can enjoy under the stars with like a little
stars
reading light.
Or, with a fan blowing on me. We have a couple of like blowers that we bring out to make our own breeze in the Florida sun. But I think that's what I'm going to read next. I don't know. And then I need to read The Teacher by Freda McFadden for book club.
Okay.
And another book for book club that I can't remember. I have two book clubs now. One locally and one with work. And I don't remember the title of the other one. So that's my, what's up next for me. How about you, Kit?
I am also reading an Amy Award book. I'm reading The Jackass in Class. Unlike Sarah, I'm following no order. Just like whatever book pops up like next on my Kindle Unlimited. I'm like, yes, that is what I will read next. So I'm reading that one. I just started it. It's so good. I mean, I love all of them. The first one I ever read was Honkers Under the Holly. And hysterical. And I didn't realize it was a series at first, but I was like, this is the greatest thing I've ever read. And then I also started Lost and Lassoed by Lila Sage, which is the next, those I am reading in order. That's the next book in the Rebel Blue Ranch series. That one I'm reading, I'm at a horse show this week. So I'm reading that in the RV while the horse show is happening.
Okay.
Just kind of hanging out and reading. And then I have to pick my next unhinged book, which is where you guys come in, because I could not find one to read this last month. I had so many recommendations. Every single book I picked up, I would read like one page and I'm like, no, that's not it. So here's what we have on the table. Are you ready? We have Behooved as pitched by Sarah today. So that would be one choice. Choice two. Stuffed by the Were Turkey. It's a shifter holiday erotica.
Shifter holiday erotica. Okay.
And here's the synopsis, just so you really get a feel of what we're working with here. Hold on to your cranberries and watch out for that spilled gravy. Josette is an animal rights activist that saves an ordinary turkey on Thanksgiving. But is there something a little more to this strange bird? End scene. So that's Stuffed by the Were-Turkey. That was recommended by my best friend, Abby. And then I have Whispers of the Deep, which is a Deep Waters book, number one in the series. And this one I think I will get into eventually, like whether or not you pick it next. This is essentially an undersea world. It's all in, think Atlantis, but like all in glass domes. And one of the, it's named Beta, but the main character is Mira. Her job is to make sure that the perimeter is never breached. Like she's out there fixing rivets and like making sure the glass doesn't crack. And on the flip side is a dual perspective. Argus is what appears to be a mermaid on the surface, but like a monster mermaid. Oh. Like lots of teeth, if you want something with bite, Marianne. And they get into a fight in scene one. And, but she's also like, but do I like that? She's like, ooh, he could eat me in more ways than one. But we're from such different worlds. But the author's, like, disclaimer at the beginning was killing me. She's like, I am not a scientist. I am fully aware this girl would drown if she went out into the water. I need you to suspend disbelief for the sake of sex. The end. And I was like, yeah, done. Of course, I can do that. And then, no, those are my three. So Behooved, Stuffed by the Were-Turkey, or Whispers of the Deep.
Absolutely the Were-Turkey.
Okay. I was hoping you would say that. Have you looked at the cover on Goodreads?
Oh, no. Yes, I have. Oh, Marianne, you got to open it up, man. You got to open it up.
I'm trying to get there.
And Tate McKirk, author Tate McKirk. I don't know what you got in your gravy, man, but like.
It is the most random cover I've ever seen.
Tate McKirk?
It's perfect. Oh. That's the author's name, Tate McKirk.
And
it's only 13 pages long, and I could not get into it.
The reviews are hilarious. The reviews are hilarious.
He's only got 2.5 stars.
It's one of the worst rated books on Goodreads, it says.
It doesn't matter. Does it?
The review says this book had me questioning my own mental health.
Oh my
God. Yes.
I want to go back in time to when I hadn't read this book.
I like the number one review on here is I give it 1 star for pure humor and the concept of a were-turkey, but it's giving middle school Wattpad.
Yeah.
Yeah. As if that's a negative. Like,
yeah. Yes.
I think you're right. This has to be the next one.
The other one is this reinforced my desire for a lobotomy. Oh my God. Somebody wrote, this is why God stays in heaven.
Please read this out loud with your friends. I laughed the whole way through. It's a great festive read to bring in the holiday spirit. So I think for Thanksgiving, I think we know what we have to do.
They said curiosity killed the cat, but in fact, just killed brain cells.
No turkeys were harmed here. Just my eyes, my brain, and my will to live.
Yeah. Listen, if Tate McKirk, if you're, I have no sense of whether you are a guy or a girl or a non-binary friend, but I love you because your author picture is just you using a tentacle to like prop your face up. And
what?
You know what? Who knew that your true calling was going to be erotic fiction that involved turkeys? And I'm here for it. I'm here for it. We're making fun of all your reviews, but.
I also think you should read Behooved because I want your opinion on
it. I'm going to read all three of these books eventually. It's not like we're knocking anything off the TBR. Right. We're just adding.
It's the what's next.
Tate's got a lot of tentacle books.
Yes.
Good for them.
Yes. Yeah.
I love it. Love everything that's happening. Shout out to Tate.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
All right. Well, I think it's time for us to reveal our featured book for September's Book Club. I think we want to do a few clues this month to give everyone, see if they can guess what it is. First one, a remote desert center promises to heal heartbreak, but at what cost?
4 strangers, 1 little dog, and a journey that might change their lives forever.
Sleep through your pain, wake up healed, if you're willing to face the shadows that come with it. I feel like we need a drum roll.
I know. Ta-da!
And our book for September is The Poppy Fields by Nikki Ehrlich. Our episode will go live on September 23rd. So tune in on all your favorite streaming services.
And you should buy this book because it's beautiful.
I saw
gorgeous. Like gorgeous pages, page edges, the inside, like it's gorgeous. The cover's gorgeous.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
And it's a beautiful book too to read.
Yes.
Like it's definitely a, I don't know, I just call those library pieces. Like you want them in your personal library.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly. Love Having listened to it first, and I'm like, I'm so glad I listened because I can't wait till it comes out to get it so I can see which
I read it on my Kindle the first time, and then I got the book because it's gorgeous.
Yeah.
For sure. I like that we went from monster porn to that.
I know, right?
Really shows our range.
Well, it's funny. I was looking at our hint, the four strangers, one little dog, and a journey that might change their lives forever. I was like, are we going to read The Wizard of Oz?
The Wizard of Oz.
But then there is the Poppy Fields. The Wizard of Oz has Poppy Fields in them. Yeah. I'm just saying.
That's true.
Yep. We could be going back to like our Twilight Mom days, like making connections that were definitely not intended to be there.
Intended,
we're like, which one is the Tin Man?
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Okay, well, I think that's going to about do it for us this week. If you have not listened to last month's book club episode, Come Fly With Me, featuring an interview with author Camille DiMaio. What are you waiting for? Definitely do it. We had a great conversation with her. She's a really fun person. I want to be friends with her forever.
And don't forget to follow our socials, subscribe to the podcast, and please leave us a review. We want to know what you think.
And let us know if there's a book you'd like to see us read or cover in the book club. There's so many good books out there. We want to know every last one.
Yes.
So until next time, keep reading.
Keep exploring.
And don't forget to pack the snacks.
Actually, my muscles hurt from laughing, so.
I know.